Welcome, everybody, to the Peaceful Planet. This is your show host for today, Marcia McMahon, and we have a very special and wonderful show planned for you on the Peaceful Planet. You were just listening to something for Gossamer Wings, which is a tune from Spirit from George Harrison that is being synthesized by the mediumship of Robert Murray at WWW, The Stars Still Shine. And we are taking your calls for song requests from his website. And we are also doing some readings today on the show live. The number to call if you would like a reading is 877-876-5227. And I will be happy to answer a question, but the way that I work is that I would like to have a specific question so that I may tune into your vibration and into the angels and guides that are overlighting our program. This week, we've seen unprecedented war in the Middle East, and this show is a show about how to achieve peace on the planet, hence the name Peaceful Planet. And I work with Princess Diana. I've had the honor of working with her and receiving her messages for some time now. And her messages are diplomatic solutions to the crisis that we are now in. So I feel compelled by the very nature of my work to read some excerpts for our listeners on what we might do to achieve a diplomatic peace. And bear in mind that as I read these, I'm connecting with her, and she is sending her love and blessing, as I know Celia, our guest, Celia Fenn, is sending her love and blessing to all the peoples affected by this tragedy. We know that our light worker, peace worker family is in Israel and in Lebanon, and we are holding the light with you. We proclaim peace, and we ask the archangels and guides and the Heavenly Father to watch over this crisis and inspired the angels to bring a consciousness of peace to the world leaders who can do the diplomacy. So we visualize that and hold that thought of a peaceful diplomatic solution evolving. We'd like our audience to join with us in the intentions of prayer and meditation at this time to call in the angels to the situation and to bring about a lasting peace for the people suffering there. I'd like to just read shortly some excerpts I have from a message. I do a weekly message with Princess Diana. If you would like to call in for a reading, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to read some excerpts here, and then we will take your calls for any readings at that time. I'm connecting to her, and she's saying, "Darling, you are most kind to allow me to intrude upon your personal time and your new job and all else that you have going. I am extremely concerned with the buildup of more war in the Middle East. We in Spirit caution the United States diplomats in particular that time is wasting while lives are being spent for nothing but these hideous bombs. Innocent children from both sides are crossing over daily. We are seeing distress on both sides, and in particular the innocent children of Lebanon. While we abhor the situation for Israelis as well, someone in the U.S. must be strong enough to put a stop to it before all-out war breaks out on all fronts. I have spoken before of the intentions of the Iranian president, and if he sees that the United States stands squarely against Lebanon and the people of Palestine, they will not hesitate to continue their nuclear arms race, and I warn all of you hearing the message that they have nuclear fusion already. It is a matter of time with them and that madman they have as president." Then she goes on, she says, back to her agenda, "There is much collective hand-wringing in the diplomatic circles because the mighty USA will not do her part to stand up against the incursions in both Lebanon and Gaza. This activity will cause a possible fatal blow to Israel, and they work round the clock to prevent nuclear catastrophe in particular." She says, "However, on a lighter note, we note that the many prayers in America are being said for those affected, Jews and Arabs alike, that this crisis must be met in an even-handed way or the U.S. will suffer greater terror." Then she says, "I am closing shortly, and I ask all light workers not to grow tired in spite of appearance, to do all they can for peace before it is too late to save the Middle East." And she is sending on, She says, let's end this ridiculous bloodshed and suffering for the world's children once and for all, and give them a future filled with good things, food, education, safety, water, and freedom for all. Thank you for having heard my plea for peace, Diana, Princess of Peace for the Nations and the People's Princess. So, what a wonderful and timely message. In my book, With Love from Diana, Diana has worked out many diplomatic solutions that are completely neutral, we shall say, to all sides concerned, that would outline a way to help all of the peoples in the Middle East come to a permanent peace. And we are praying with everyone for a quick ceasefire, and ask all of our listeners to visualize peace in the region. And I know that Celia Fenn, our special guest, is joining us today, and she has posted something on her website. She says, to all our light worker family in Israel and Lebanon, we are holding the light with you. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on our special guest, Celia Fenn. We're also open to your readings. We are opening our phone lines. You can call in and ask me a question if you like, but it needs to be a specific question. And we will contact the angels and give you your messages. As far as Celia is concerned, we're delighted to have her with us. She is a doctorate, Dr. Celia Fenn, and she is an expert on the indigo and crystal children. Her work previously was in academia, and she has a PhD, spent many years there, and began to come into her own enlightenment, at which point she left academia. And we have a lot in common in that regard, as I am also in academia at the moment and have not left. Celia, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Wonderful. It's great to have you with us. Really am thrilled to have you on the program. We're doing an Ascension series, and I know that you are really and truly an expert on the indigo and crystal children. And I wonder if you could repeat, for the sake of our audience, the title of your book and your website as we begin this interview.
The website is called starchildglobal.com, and the book is called The Indigo Crystal Adventure, and it's about the work of the indigo and crystal children in the ascension process and the transformation process.
Right, and that is a wonderful book and has so much wisdom, and it's one of the clearest books that I have read, and it's very easy to read. And again, the title of the book, if you could repeat that for our audience.
The Indigo Crystal Adventure.
Indigo Crystal
Adventure.
Adventure. And you know, it is really well written, and it has beautiful illustrations. And I suppose that you created this book, Celia?
Yeah, the material is channeled. A lot of it is channeled, and some of it is my own. I work with Archangel Michael, and we brought through a lot of material about the work of the children and how it is or is meant to be fun, the ascension process.
And how wonderful.
A playful process, and that it's creative. And we're trying to emphasize that aspect of it rather than the difficulties and the traumas.
Right. And that is what I like about your book, because it's so clear and precise as far as the different levels that we're all experiencing with ascension. Now, I have to say that your timeline and my timeline are very similar, because I received my contact from Spirit. Well, I've been in touch with my higher self for years, but my contact kind of from Princess Diana in prayer and meditation originated around 2001. And you say you began receiving your messages from Michael a fairly short time ago?
Mm. Also in 2001.
Oh, really?
That was what I call the big opening. It really happened for me in 2001.
I thought that was the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I do understand that it began in 1998, the cycle we're in now. But most of us kind of began opening in a major way in about 2001, 2002.
And I imagine, like myself, you were pretty much by yourself in this when you began receiving this angelic contact from the higher realms of heaven, correct?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yes. And very surprised by it. I had been channeling before, but nothing quite at this level or at the volume of information that came through in that period. It was startling.
Yes.
But very important.
Absolutely. And you've done a beautiful job with the book in terms of putting it into your own words. In my books with Diana, and I have two, I leave her words there because she has her own British way of speaking. She has a profound beauty and eloquence, so I leave her loans and respect them, and I leave them in the book as they are. But I think it's easier sometimes for people to relate when you're speaking in the first person, you know, and in your case, the way that the book reads, it's kind of a fun, you make it into an adventure. So I think the title, the star, or the Indigo Crystal Adventure is a really good title. Now, as you began to get these messages, did you begin to find an interest in the work that you were doing, or did you find other light workers in the process? How many years were you along in your process of doing the work before you felt that you could become public with it?
That's a difficult question because I've been working with a psychic and healer for a very long time.
Uh-huh. Oh, we have a caller. Okay, very good.
Okay.
Is there a caller?
Caller, could you please turn off your internet and they're addressing you?
Oh, okay.
Yes, we have a caller. I can't hear you. Please speak up. Give me your name.
My name is Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte. This is Marcia speaking. How are you today?
Okay, fine. You had asked for questions, and I just had a question about my son's health. He's just embarked on a treatment course, and I just wondered whether or not there's anything else he should do, or he has a terrible back problem, and just wondered if things were going to... if he was going to be helped by any of this.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me go into spirit and see what guides or angels may step forward or any information I can gather for you, and thank you for your call. Please be patient as I receive the information. Well, the first thing that spirit's giving me is that there will be a healing, and that this will take time, and that... Is he pursuing a very traditional route? Because I'm getting some information that he might want to look into some alternative treatments as well. If I may ask, do you know if he's pursuing traditional medical attention or alternative therapies of any kind?
He is pursuing some alternative therapies right now.
Good.
He's just
well, that's
beginning.
Where I think the best hope lies. I think, though, that since I'm not a medical person, nor am I particularly a medical intuitive, the angels are telling me that there will be some time involved in this, and I'm seeing him, is he taking off some time from work, because I'm seeing that he may need to do that, too.
No, he hadn't planned on, you know, just maybe a few days, but he really hadn't planned on a lot.
Okay, I'm seeing some time that he may need maybe to acclimate to these alternative treatments. And, of course, I'm not a medical doctor, so he should continue to see his regular doctor. I don't give medical advice. But I am seeing a healing in time for him, and I'm also seeing some kind of aerobic exercise like swimming that may alleviate whatever the pressure is on the discs there. I'm seeing something with the discs, and the angels are showing me something with the spinal column. So... maybe that would help. And I hope that this reading was beneficial, and we send our love and light to your son, Charlotte, and thank you so much for calling. I hope, did I answer the question?
Yes, thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for tuning into our program. Many blessings to you.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye now. So, Celia, are you still with us there?
Mm-hmm. I'm still
okay.
Here.
Wonderful. I'm not sure where we were. Can you refresh my memory?
I was just going to add to what you were saying that about
the
callers.
Please do.
That I was told by my guide that it is a process and that he has to go through certain things that will help him to understand things about his life that need to be changed.
Okay.
And so the journey with the back is a process of understanding as well.
Okay, wonderful. I don't know if Charlotte's still with us, but I'm sure she's tuning in. So if you're listening in, Charlotte, Celia had some wonderful information from her guides that this was a process. And that's what I was seeing. I confirm the truth of that because I was seeing something with possibly with some swimming in water and some alternative therapies that would be helpful to the spinal column. So, yeah, I confirm that completely. And thank you, Celia, for tuning in with me on this. That's wonderful. So, Celia, you also do some intuitive work, do you not? You do some angel readings or channeling for people as a service?
Yes, I do. I was just saying to you earlier that I've been working in this line of work for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I started off as a healer
mm-hmm.
and a therapist and then moved into being a psychic
mm-hmm.
and doing psychic readings, and then from that became a channel.
Mm-hmm.
So when I've started doing the channeling, I was already well into a career with spirit.
That
so it didn't really take me long to go public with the channel.
Well, see, I've gone public with the channel, but I haven't been able to change my career, but I'm in a sort of a different position than you are, and obviously all of us are in, you know, in our particular places where we're supposed to be in service to spirit. You
yeah,
know?
Definitely.
So it's understood. You know, I have noticed, though, an acceleration, and I'm seeing a pattern in you that I saw in my own personal development, and I think those light workers and star childs that are listening in right now who may be indigos or who may be on a spiritual journey may have noticed that they are accelerating their own personal spiritual growth, and maybe they're experiencing things that they really can't talk about with other people other than people like ourselves, the psychics who have developed our channeling ability over the last few years. And in addition to all this light pouring forth on Earth, we're living in some very special times where the human being is moving out of 3D consciousness and into 4, 5, 6, and umpteen dimensional consciousnesses where we are going to be able to break through the veil of consciousness and reach those loved ones who are in spirit, as well as accelerating our own personal spiritual purposes and spiritual growth. And then hopefully, I think the overall view that I get of the ascension process, and you're the expert, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea here is to bring humanity to a greater awareness of love and to anchor that love in our hearts. Is that a good simple way of saying what your books are saying, Julia?
I think that's the whole point of ascension, is to move us out of 3D, which I would correlate with duality thinking, and move us into unity consciousness, which is the place of love and oneness. And I think if we can reach that, then we will be able to live on a peaceful planet. And that is the whole point of ascension.
That's beautifully put and so perfectly simply explained. But very often I think we as people on a spiritual path have obstacles to overcome. And some people are not maybe giving enough time and attention to these changes that they're noticing, and they get very wrapped up. I've also noticed with people that are on the path of ascension that maybe they're not quite on the path yet. Maybe they've got 1 foot in 3D and 1 foot in 4D, and they're
mm-hmm.
just kind of iffy, like, well, is this mediumship really, really real? Or maybe they're still attending regular church services, and they're getting some negative information about psychics, or they're questioning, and they're beginning to question their process, and they're beginning to come into some unusual dreams or some spontaneous spiritual guidance from friends, and they don't know what to make of it, so maybe they're beginning their journey. Would these possibly be signs and symptoms that you are an indigo?
Well, that you're moving into what we might call the indigo transition, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because my understanding is that the indigo children are raising the consciousness of the general population. So when someone is ready to move into that transformation, they are aligning their consciousness with the indigo level and are ready to start taking on the more heightened awareness of the indigo.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
it's really a very simple process. You know, it has little to do with churches or religions or beliefs, but
mm-hmm.
it has to do with opening your heart and the way you actually deal with people and understand people. That is the process. And I think as we're in this process, we're often unwinding all our beliefs and letting go of a lot of the things that we believe in.
Well, I found
and
myself...
And finding how simple it is.
I found myself able to let go of a lot of my traditional thinking as I went through the process of my accelerated spiritual transformation to channeling and to connecting with guides and angels, Diana, Mother Teresa, and
mm-hmm.
others. So, you know, and it seemed like they were on one level, and then now since I've been doing the radio show and doing readings, I'm connecting more with the higher guides and the higher energies. I occasionally get messages from A.A. Michael, too, and it's been a great honor, and also the Ra Elohim group, and then I've also received messages, you know, and being asked to do angel readings on my show. So next week I'm going to be doing some special angel readings with Archangel Michael and Metatron in the context of they're looking at the Book of Life or the so-called Hall of Records. So we're going, you know, I'm just going up this kind of ladder with it. And
mm-hmm.
now that I'm accustomed to spirit, I think I'm fairly comfortable as a spirit worker. I've been doing this work, you know, weekly at least with Princess Di, but it's been expanding to other levels. So I wonder if you could speak to the other dimensional levels that you work with Archangel Michael and how you experience this and how you maybe tell us a little bit how you channel.
That's a difficult question because my understanding of channeling is receiving information from higher aspects of yourself and your soul family.
Mm-hmm.
So when I work with Archangel Michael, it's working for me with what I call the family of Archangel Michael, which is a soul group
mm-hmm.
that is responsible for or caretakes certain kinds of information. Because as I understand it, Archangel Michael is the caretaker or guardian of the ascension process and also works with the indigo and crystal children as part of the ascension process. So channeling for me is receiving information from these higher levels that will help with the process and help people on the path of transformation and the path of peace. Do you want to know how I actually do it?
It's not necessary unless you wanted
okay.
to elaborate for us, because I've
uh-huh.
shared some of my how I channel with the audience too. It's completely up to you whether you would want to go into that. I was just curious, you know, what you were getting from Archangel Michael, but you know, and you did a very thorough explanation of what his purpose is in bringing us to the awareness of the indigos and then the crystal children. Go ahead and respond with whatever you were planning to share with us on any insights that you have, whether it be channeling or whether it be his insights about these special children.
Well, I think channeling is mostly to bring information to people that wouldn't be available otherwise. So it's a very special way of receiving information from higher sources. And I think that you are selected by that source when they feel that you are a clear enough channel to bring forward that information at whatever level you are working at that time. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm confirming every word you're saying, Celia. Excuse me. Because I know that I was chosen by Diana. I did not choose to go to her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She came to me with a specific request for world peace. And she apparently, this was way before September 11th, she apparently saw something coming that was, you know, going to lead to war, and she wanted to prevent that. But I never had anything specific, but I do know that the world has become so much more chaotic during these very interesting times of accelerated spiritual growth, too. So it seems to me that these wars and these things, they have to be solved in order for us to have a peaceful planet, for us to provide for our children, and to stop the excessive amounts of hate and violence. And they only seem to have accelerated with this time period. So it's kind of confusing, I think, to see on the one hand so many people making such giant leaps and strides personally in their spiritual progress, while at the same time I find it just heart-wrenching to watch the television and see the daily violence and now this increased accelerated war, almost on the brink of war with Israel and Lebanon and, you know, Palestine.
So I think that's also a factor of the increased awareness that people have, and we're much more aware of the suffering and how
exactly.
it affects people. And also
so
the suffering of children. I think we're becoming much more aware of what's happening to children on our planet than we used to be.
Well, you know,
and that
they're the ones that are the real victims of these horrible wars, you know?
Mm.
They are,
truly. I think Diana was the one who sort of started us seeing that, that children were the ones who were
Thank you
needing our
that.
Help.
She absolutely stands with the children, and she has told me that the one reason she's doing this work that is diplomatic in nature to provide solutions to the Middle East is to prevent massive loss of life of our world's most precious resource, children. And she stands up for children everywhere and asks the adults of this world basically to quit behaving like children so that we can have a world for our children and our children's children. So this is a heart chakra thing that Diana had when she was with us, but she was always, you know, loving the children.
Yeah.
Standing
but,
up.
You know, it's not only violence. It's not only wars. If you think about Africa, how many children die of illness, disease, starvation.
Right.
It's a problem, you know, all around the globe, and I think it's part of what we need to do is make people aware that we are losing children
and this
who
is the thing
are
that,
valuable to us.
Yes, this is the thing that is truly, truly heartbreaking, and Diana, if she were with us, and she is with us in spirit, is standing with all those children. I know that my dear friend, Makia Michelson, who was a light worker that was occasionally doing Michael readings on my program, is going to be highlighting these new readings from the other side. And Mattia met up with Princess Di on the other side, and they run an orphanage along with Mother Teresa. And this orphanage is a lot of the children come over with no parents at all because they were already orphaned in South Africa, or they are particularly in working with, she's working with these orphan children from South Africa. So it's very sad that she said she's happy to give them love and attention, and this is a major project on the other side. But when you think about it, we shouldn't really have this happening. We shouldn't have this massive loss of life of children going to the other side, and some of the tragedies that are just, they're overwhelming if you think about them.
Well, I've been told as well that it's going to become a major project on this side as well in the future.
Wonderful.
That we're going to become much more aware of helping children.
I think that needs to happen, and I have seen evidence in my students, and as you know, I still teach at a college, and in my students, there are different projects that they are doing to go over to Africa. I'm not able to go with them, and now I'm at a new college, so that's a whole other story, but with the younger people that I see, I am seeing a lot of the indigo signs and symptoms that you describe in your book, and I read your book with relish because I thought, my, oh my, this lady has just hit it right over the head with the way these kids are built these days, you know? And it gives me a lot of help as an educator, as well as a psychic, to be able to kind of see past some of the personality dysfunctions to the heart of the matter of these very unusual indigos and possible crystals. Now, if you could explain maybe a little bit in differentiation, tell us a little about the indigos and some of their dysfunctions, and then if you could elaborate into a little bit more detail on the new crystal or Christed children that are coming in with the new millennium, I think that's very exciting.
Well, as I understand it, the indigo children came first. They came in the 70s, and so most of them are in their teens and early 20s now, and they've mission was to awaken people, and in order to do this they were often very angry. They had to show us what we were doing wrong, and they had to break through the systems that we had set up and that had in effect trapped us in this 3D reality. So quite often you find indigos are angry and distrustful. And they don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be contained. they want to do their own thing. And so they can quite often be difficult for parents and educators to cope with. But the point of what I call the indigo anger was to make us aware that we need to change and that the systems that we have aren't working for us and that we need to change them. And once that process had been undertaken, then the crystal children started coming in around about 1998. And they brought with them the awareness of working from the heart. And the crystal children are just pure love. They're about empowerment and love. And so they follow on from the indigos. Once the indigos have created a space for them, we then have the crystal children who can now bring into that space the beautiful heart energy and so create a new society, which we call the New Earth. And I think that's where we are now. We're moving into this new society, which will be characterized by the heart energy and that sense of oneness. So I know we talked earlier about how simple it is when you actually move into the heart and start understanding that we are, in fact, a global family. And we start looking for the oneness, the similarities between us, and not looking at the differences. And I think that is what the crystal children are helping us to do right now.
That's beautifully put and so true. And it gives a great deal of insight. Now, these crystal children and these indigos, they do respond to special care, but they all seem to need some kind of special whatever I've noticed with my students, many of them. You know, come in with certain disabilities. Some come in with certain amazing gifts. It's a mixed bag of things, isn't it?
Well, you have to work with them as individuals. They no longer are just a group of students or scholars. They're individuals. And you have to honor each person for what they are.
I think,
in a healthy society, that's what happens. We honor and respect each person for their individual being.
I also agree with some of your comments about the disintegration of our current society. We saw vast evidence of incompetence with the way the government, which was originally set up by the people and for the people to assist the people, did not assist in things like Katrina. And then, you know, there was some bungling, you know, in the recent crisis in the Middle East with getting them out of Lebanon in time. So it seems to me that a lot of these systems are very broken from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
And that these indigos that are coming in are there to kind of to correct things and to call it into question and to make it better, fix it, or reform it and revamp it. Maybe none of this will be left when all is said and done.
I think it's going back to communities, you know, individuals. What you find when things do break down is that it falls back on individuals within the communities to actually help.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened. I remember when Katrina was on the go, it was individual citizens who were helping, not the government.
Right, right. So
it brings out that heart energy in people.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I have to say, too, that as you're speaking and as with your writing, your book carries an energy vibration of the heart, and as I was reading it, I could feel my heart opening. I already think of myself as a very open-hearted, loving person, but I feel that there was something special about the vibration of the words that you were using that helped energetically. And that must
I've noticed that when I channel, that kind of energy does come through. It's a very loving, very supportive energy. It's very beautiful.
So that our angel guides are very loving and they want the best of our intentions. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what you as a visionary hold in terms of your vision for the world or what Archangel Michael has revealed to you about these turbulent times in which we live and give our audience maybe a little bit of a sense of hope right now for things to get better and to affirm for all of us who are holding the light and the love energy throughout the world and especially in the Middle East, if there would be you know, any insight that you can afford us at this time?
Well, what I've been told by Archangel Michael is that peace will continue to take hold.
Mm-hmm.
And that although there will be people who will try to make war, peace will just continue to be the major thing on the agenda. And I was told by Archangel Michael that as a collective, we have chosen the road of peace. And you're going to find that as we go forward, peace will become more and more what we experience and not war.
Mm-hmm.
And that what we're experiencing now is maybe attempts to keep us focused on what is negative. But the Archangel always says focus on what is positive, focus on the good things.
Right.
You know, look around you and see what is wonderful. And there are, in fact, many wonderful things happening on the planet, many
there
good things are. Happening that people
there
do open
are.
Their hearts.
Mm. Diana has pointed out that it's really the people all over the world that want peace, and it will be the people who bring pressure upon these world leaders to negotiate a diplomatic solution in the Middle East. So, you know, we're facing some unprecedented times with these nuclear threats from these various entities and rogue regimes in Iran and so on. But at the
mm-hmm.
same time, you know, I'm very hopeful that the children of this new earth, and I include myself in that, even though I'm not a child by any stretch, the children of the new earth aren't going to stand for this, nuclear buildup and this kind of warring and everything. Because
well, I was also told by Archangel Michael that if the world was just going to be destroyed, why would so many wonderful crystal children incarnate?
That's right. So that
they're here to share, and they're here to grow up, and they're here to transform. They've got work to do, and they wouldn't come if they thought the world was just going to disintegrate.
Absolutely. And what I love about our show, Peaceful Planet, and the BBS network in general, is that we stand for the alternative to what the television is producing. And while they're trying to be good journalists and provide us with the facts, as it were, very often the violence really sells. And
mm-hmm.
we would like to see BBS really get out there into the mainstream and get on to the AM/FM stations where people can be uplifted at this time and be offered another point of view and another way of looking at the world, the diplomatic solutions, as it were, of Princess Diana and other diplomats and peacemakers and light workers.
But even just the ordinary people, because I'm sitting here wearing a crystal that someone in Israel sent to me a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's very special to me. I have connections with people in Israel and in Lebanon, and so
mm-hmm.
my experience of what's going on now is ordinary people. I think about what are they feeling, what are they thinking, rather than what the media tell me.
Well, they're
so
under siege,
balance.
But they're probably
yeah.
sending light as well, you know?
Very much. So the person who did the painting that's on my website, she writes to me and talks about love and saying that she hopes the world wakes up to love and what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sending wonderful light out,
well,
even though she lives
beautiful.
In Haifa and is under threat. Yeah.
And I know Haifa's under siege, and the painting, is the painting titled something to do with Haifa?
No, it's a painting of soul energy. It's a very beautiful painting.
Okay, I'm looking at it now.
Because she paints metaphysical images.
I would like
that
to get in touch with her. I'd like to meet up with some other peacemakers and light workers in Israel and in the other areas of the world there, and, you know, just basically let them know what we're doing here on the Peaceful Planet. I have some connections in Israel and also with a Palestinian woman who's doing some wonderful work for peace, and that she runs an orphanage for abandoned children over there. And at some point we'll be featuring those people on our show. But
I think
see the website here.
Yeah.
And may I read that to our audience? Celia?
Pardon? Sorry,
I don't
mind catch
if that. I share the website of the Israeli woman who's painting these beautiful visions of spirit here.
Do you have a website there?
Yes, I do. It's posted
okay.
on your website. It's www.bivisavitri.org. And I think I'd like to get in touch with her and see.
She's lovely. Her name is Vivi Savitri.
Okay.
And she is lovely, and she's got this wonderful, loving energy. Her history is she's studied metaphysics for many years, and
mm-hmm.
She moved into painting. And she shares these beautiful images with people. And it was strange to me that she came into my life a couple of weeks ago, just as this war was breaking out. Mm-hmm. And so I've had this connection with her and this beautiful, loving energy that she gives us.
And you're wearing her crystal right now.
And this is from another friend who's also
okay.
in trail.
You know, I work with crystals too, and I design crystal jewelry.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to put up a website with all of my crystal jewelry, but I'm so busy with so many things, as I'm sure you are too.
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful that you made this connection with her. So you are all praying together for the ceasefire and holding the light and the thought of peace, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
We're just holding that energy of love and peace and letting the world find it. I think that's so important. You know, while there's so much fear and anger being put out by the media, it's our work as light workers to hold this energy of love and peace and connection, this heart connection that we have with each other.
That's right, and not to let boundaries and border disputes and even horrible acts of terror and horrible acts of war interfere with, you know, and it can't help but interfere with the lives of the people so affected. I mean, obviously my heart just cries out with this horrible war going on now, but I think we can't look to that. That's the illusion. We have to look to the immortal and to the truth, so that truth itself will provide, God itself will provide a solution to this crisis, and that we should not be bereft of hope for the people so devastated in this region at this time.
Yeah, I think we just have to keep holding the energy for transformation completely, that a solution can be found.
Mm-hmm.
It can be found. It will be found.
Well, in my book with Diana, she has outlined diplomatic solutions, as I've said, with the founding of the Palestinian state that would establish for them a separate living area that would be fully involved in statehood and allow them to do what they need to do to freely elect leaders and to move about. And, you know, basically, this is the core grievance, she has said, behind so much of this terror, and that if the United States would help more in terms of enabling them to come to a peaceful settlement, as well as now, of course, the Hezbollah has to be dealt with. But, you know, all of these terror factions have arisen out of a grievous situation that's been allowed to fester there for many years. So she has pointed out diplomatic solutions that would be a possible way of ending this. And, you know, it's interesting going back in time when I think about the work that I've been doing with Diana, and you were talking about your work in 2001, but when I just began my work, say a year or so into the channeling with Diana, and I was doing weekly messages, I had this dream, and in the dream, I flew to Israel, and I landed there, and there were all these children playing and flowers everywhere, and I flew from Israel up to Lebanon, and then I flew over to other Middle Eastern nations, and everything was free and everything was peaceful. So to me, that is the dream that we all hold for that area, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that was a dream that something will happen good out of the work that I'm doing, you know.
I hope so. You know, that's what we all want. But I also wanted to say that the message I get is that a lot of it is poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just diplomacy. It's actually the poverty in that region that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely, the poverty and oppression. And
it's the same thing in Africa. The children are suffering because the poverty and the starvation and those kinds of things that can be addressed by wealthier nations as part
right.
of the opening of the heart.
Exactly. Well, you know, Diana, in her message, and I read this before, she said, let's give the children good things, food, education, safety, water, and freedom. So, you know,
exactly.
These people have to feel that there is a future for them, and so many of them are starving, and it's no wonder they resort to these horrible crimes against humanity because
yeah.
they have no job, no future, nothing. And, of course,
exactly.
it's rhetoric. It's religious rhetoric as well, which is very detrimental to you
yeah.
know, use the idea of killing in the name of God, which is, to me, it's an oxymoron, you know. But nonetheless, these nations have got to learn to share with other nations, the richer with the poorer. And I think that with what we're seeing with the Indigo children, there is a conscience in Indigos.
Oh, definitely. They want to help.
Yes, they do. And they really want to make a difference in the world. And they're very frustrated, I think, with the way that our current government, which represents the old energy, you know, the old energy is going to war.
Mm-hmm.
They're frustrated with that. I don't think they really want any more of that. And I think, as Diana says in her work with me, that there will be such a public outcry with these outrageous things going on that people will just say enough is enough and find a way. So, you know, but it may get worse before it gets better. I'm hoping that's not the case. That's an old way of saying that, but that does not excuse the crimes.
And I read a Cry On channel where Lee Carroll says that 2007 will be the year when the Indigos really come into their power and start making a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very encouraging. That's
maybe
not too far away.
Yeah,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think it will. I also have a feeling that it's time now when the children, the Indigos who are becoming adults, will really make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you, and they will be coming into positions of power. And those of us a little older than Indigo, although I still kind of feel, you know, an affinity for the Indigo. Once I read your book, I thought, I must be an Indigo. I never thought of myself as an Indigo, you know.
Well, we've all been through the rays of consciousness that has happened after the Indigos arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, we are all Indigos and Crystal as we continue to grow in awareness.
Yes, I completely identify with going into the crystal consciousness or the Christ consciousness because
mm-hmm.
I think that is the true meaning of the idea of the return of Christ, is the Christ consciousness. That
well, through these children, here comes this wonderful Christ of consciousness.
Yeah. Now, tell
it's
us
the second coming.
Yes, it is the second coming, and it's the coming of these children with these
mm-hmm.
amazing Christed energies. Where do you feel these children are really coming from? Are they really old souls of Earth, or are they coming from the stars?
I think it's a combination of both. What you're getting is very wise beings who are on special assignment to just make this planet into the wonderful place it needs to be. And so you're getting these really high-quality beings who are coming to do this work. And the work is raising our consciousness to make us get to their level. And so it's wonderful that humans, all of us, those of us who weren't born Indigo, are being given this wonderful opportunity to raise our energy up to that same level as these wonderful beings who are coming in.
I think that's just magnificent. And I, you know, just imagine, if you will, imagine a world that is filled with Christ consciousness and how we will relate to one another, how pleasurable our earthly existence will be, what sharing, what love, what giving. We could actually embrace the world without fear, without mistrust for our brothers and sisters. What a wonderful world this could be. And I do believe that was the intention of what Jesus stood for so many thousands of years when he came. But the world wasn't ready for his message then. You know, but I do think that it is ready now for the so-called second coming in the form of these young children. You know, it's really quite a phenomenon.
It is about love, but I also want to say that it's also about power. It's about empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things we're learning is how to be powerful and to take back our power and make a difference, not just to sit and let the government do it or someone else do it, but to really understand that we can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I think that what a wonderful world it would be indeed if we could have people like yourself and myself in charge of more than just, you know, writing our books. We have these people in world leadership positions, not necessarily in politics, but people assuming the power that we rightfully have and are being given from the higher realms in order to effect a more drastic change across the world. You know, I think that our position is global leadership. I feel that you have global leadership, and you've demonstrated that through your writings and the way you are in contact with so many the world over. And I greatly I respect that in your work.
But I think our work as leaders is to work with consciousness. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
ever see myself doing anything more than that.
I want to run for office, so at some of my speeches that I've given at these conferences, people have said, you know, Marcia, you really ought to think about running for office. I'm like, that's the last thing I want to do. You know, I just want
to
continue with my channeling
and
pay attention to the political process. But my God, just think, if we could have a say, if this really was, well, I do know that my work was sent to one diplomat in particular here in the States who was very grateful to have it.
I was just going to say to you, I also know that in my country, I connect with political people.
Uh-huh.
And I do know that it does make a difference. So,
yes, it does. So I want to encourage our listeners to not be too afraid to email their representatives and elected officials and And if you're an indigo out there and you're hearing the program and there's things you're not happy with, fight for what you want. Stand up for what you want. Be vocal and empower yourself because, well, of course, you know, that's the whole name of the game. You know, without just because you have spiritual gifts doesn't mean that you have gifts of power, but basically the spiritual gifts are gifts of power. But in the past, anyway, those of us with spiritual gifts were pretty much burned at the stake or otherwise suppressed, you know. But this is not like that anymore. We're supposed to be speaking out.
Well, the indigos that are moving into their 20s now always say to people, when you're in that phase of your life, in your 20s, you're meant to be on the path of the spiritual warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a warrior does things, moves energy, makes things happen in the real world. So I think for the 20-something indigos, the challenge is to go and make a difference in the real world.
Absolutely.
But to do so in loving ways, to find the path of the heart, but to make it real in the world.
We're going to have to wrap it up right about now, Celia, because we're at the end of the show and we've got some music to feature from John Lennon, who has written a beautiful song titled Eternal Opus. Before we play the song, I'd like to mention again your website and mine and your wonderful work. The title of the book is The Indigo and Crystal Adventure by Dr. Celia Fenn. And her website, would you mention your website, please, Celia?
StarChildGlobal.com.
StarChildGlobal.com. And we invite our listeners to email me with questions for readings on air for next week. We're doing a very special series on angel readings for next week with the Hall of Records, and you may join us. We also encourage you to visit Bob Murray's site. My site is www.DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com. Visit Bob's site to hear and tune into the music at www.TheStarsStillShine.com. And we're going to close our show with a song titled Eternal Opus, which is created by Bob Murray and inspired from the other side by John Lennon. And we look forward to hosting another special program for you next week. We're closing. We send blessings of light and peace and joy to all of you listening in the audience, and we would like to ask all to continue to hold the Middle East in prayer and light as we witness these things with the idea of that peace prevails on the peaceful planet. May God bless each one of you, and we'll see you again next time.